Welcome everyone to the Within the Margin podcast, where we speak with authors and more about their books, their inspirations, and all the amazing details in life. Today, we are speaking with Jennifer Nestor, author of Jane Escapes to the Jungle of Individuality. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So we like to always start off, what makes Jennifer, Jennifer?
I think what makes Jennifer, Jennifer is just my creativity and ability to kind of see the bigger picture. So always looking at like as like a visionary process, no matter what I'm doing, whether it's work or whether it's planning something like a vacation or writing a book. It's just seeing like not only just the bigger vision, but then the small details in between. I think that really stands out and makes me who I am.
Perfect. So what was that moment when you realized you created Jane and you were like, this book needs to be written?
Yeah, I think as I was writing the character of Jane, one of the things that really stuck out to me as like, this needs to be read by others is just the fact that she was not only humble, but she was unique and she had qualities that so many children have today, and even qualities that I had when I was younger, where, you know, some things might have been made to feel like you weren't good enough or it wasn't normalized and stuff like that. So I felt like Jane can really be a character that people can resonate with no matter what age group they're in, whether they're the parent that's reading the story or whether they are the, you know, child that the story is getting read to. So I thought that was really special, and that people would celebrate Jane for that reason.
It's funny how when you write a book, when the characters, as you're dreaming up the characters, they do kind of create a life of their own. And it's crazy how you were like, oh, it's almost like you met Jane. Like, mm-hmm. She came to life in your mind and all of a sudden these qualities just came. Did you find that the great characteristics that you just said, did those come intentionally, or where did those, I know you mentioned like with kids around, like kind of, you know, expand more upon that.
Sure. I think as far as the character and personality traits go, I developed those based on like experiences that I had as a little girl, but then also during my time as a mentor. For a while, I was a mentor for Big Brother, Big Sister of Northeast Florida. And I had a little sister that I would, you know, kind of take out for community events and do 5Ks with and just hang out on the weekends and stuff. And like during that time, I realized that there was a huge issue in our like culture with kids when it comes to social media and bullying and really just having, you know, people talk negatively about them. And in being a part of that process, I noticed that these were qualities that were so common amongst girls and especially like young women and children that really needed to be addressed. And specifically speaking, you know, with the mentorship and those conversations, I realized that this was happening in schools more than, you know, even what I remember before social media was prevalent. So that's really kind of what sparked the idea of the characteristics and what led to just the beginning of creating Jane and kind of what she was going to go through as far as the storyline goes.
That's so as a father of two daughters, that speaks so much to me because, you know, you can't wrap your kid up in a bubble. But the idea of making sure that they become who, you know, they were created to be. Yeah, so you have dragged my attention here. So as parents, so you've taken amazing routes on, you know, volunteering with, you know, the Boys and Girls Club. You know, you at one point picked, you know, I want to write this book. And what do you think the best thing for parents to do when it comes to reaching their kids, whether or not it's their own kid or whether or not it's someone else's kid? You know, how do we reach them in this positive light, you know, really helping foster their environment?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of the things that's really important is for parents to foster open conversations with their children when it comes to such topics, such as, we'll use bullying as an example, since that's a big part of this story, you know, for example, Jane goes to her mom and just basically opens up and says, like, I don't want to go to school today. Like, people are, you know, making fun of me and it makes me sad. And instead of the parent, like, not addressing the situation and kind of ignoring it or glossing it over, you know, her mom is there and she's present and she's, you know, reiterating to Jane that, you know, hey, like, your differences are what make you beautiful. Like, you know, don't listen to that type of, you know, feedback. That's not who you are. And it's really on them. So I think having those transparent conversations with your kids and listening and really hearing them, because a lot of times I feel like kids struggle to express their emotions, especially at that young of an age. That's the best way I think that we could own those conversations and make sure that the children are being heard in those pivotal moments.
See, I feel like when with my six, my goodness, we could talk for hours on this. I feel like with my 6 year old, who's my oldest, she's super, super chatty. And I feel like my biggest fear, I always find me and my wife talk about it, where our biggest fear is that she would just stop talking. Like, as she gets older, if she's dealing with something, the idea that, like, she would always want her to come to us no matter what, like, no matter, right. We don't want her to feel judged. We don't want her to feel, you know, if for, you know, months and years as life gets so busy and, you know, we all have careers, we're all trying to, you know, create this life. But if we aren't intentional about getting this environment and making it to where those open conversations are there, well, then all of a sudden you might get, you know, 10 years on the road and be like, no, wait, in the teenage years, which I heard are a completely different experience. And, you know, you want that conversation to be there. And so in that open communication, I feel like that's so incredible that you identified that. When it comes to the Boys and Girls Club, what brought you to that? I know this is a little bit of a tangent, but where brought you, because that seems like such a great environment for, especially for kids that don't have that naturally in the whatever environment there are. And so just kind of tell us more about, you know, what drew you to that organization.
Yeah, it was Big Brother, Big Sister of Northeast Florida. So it's a little bit different. I do have some colleagues that have worked with the Boys and Girls Club as well, which they're both great organizations for kids. I would say for me personally, I kind of grew up as like an only child and I didn't have siblings. And as I got into working in healthcare in the community for St. John's County, I realized that there were a lot of kids that, you know, didn't have like the best childhood upbringings or good family situations. And with that being said, these kids needed mentors. I saw that there were openings for volunteers, looked a little bit about the criteria, and it seemed like something that I would be able to put like my heart and energy into, where maybe I wasn't somebody's older sister in real life, but I could, you know, put some of the lessons that I've learned and just be a friend and be that listening ear. Cause it's less about parenting in that type of role and more so about, you know, being the person that they feel comfortable and confident that they could talk to about anything. So as we started to have conversations and go through the process of being a mentor, I realized that, you know, this was a reoccurring conversation that her and I were having on a regular basis. And I just felt that was really important to continue to foster the open, transparent conversations with her, which led to some of the background in, I guess, even this story with like Jane and her mom.
Perfect. That's great. So, because as you're developing that conversation, having these open conversations, this led you to, because I think of so many, there's so many parents out there who, first off, would love to get more involved. And then, so I would love to hear about like your opinion on like how, you know, parents would get involved. And then it's cool, we'll talk about your Kickstarter that's coming up for your book, because your book's not out yet in mid-April. Go ahead and talk about your Kickstarter real quick about, you know, how this is developing.
Yeah. So I decided to do a Kickstarter campaign to help really put more visibility onto the book, because I believe in the story and I do want it to get in the hands of as many children as possible. So with that, as a self-published indie author, comes a lot of, you know, costs with the large distribution and shipping of the books, in addition to getting cool things like Jane plushies or buttons or stickers and things that I could really bring to author events and so forth. So I decided to do this campaign to help fund the bigger project. And it should be kicking off in mid-April. There are a lot of great goodies that are a part of the reward tier. So like I was mentioning, there'll be a Jane plushie. So that's something that the kids can really hold and feel. There are also some buttons and stickers. There's some holographic ones, coloring pages, activity sheets. There's just so many great things. And then for some of the larger tiers, we're offering like a virtual reading of the book or a in-person reading if they're local to Florida. So that's something that's really exciting too, where we were able to build in like event opportunities into the Kickstarter. So overall, it's not really about just the funding. It's about getting the project out there into as many hands as possible because the book has already won a Golden Wizard Award, and then also a Literary Titan Gold Award for just the manuscript only. So that's something that I'm really excited about.
And apparently your dogs are as well. And
yes. Winnie, come here, baby. No barking.
No, that's right. Yeah, no, it's perfect. It's perfect. We're keeping that in there.
Okay.
So because, you know, on the Daydreaming Network, we do so much with, as a self-published author myself, this is kind of how this whole brainchild started. The idea of being able to, to showcase self-published authors and their stories, because they are so, the book publishing world is, it's a lot. There's so many people vying for the attention, and there's so much there that we know our particular environment's meant to serve self-publishers like yourself, and also on the independent publishers where, the marketing isn't all there and you're, doing the best you can to, because the self-publishing, it's expensive. It's such a, it's a labor of love to be able to get this, for you to be able to get this important message out there, and to broadcast to the world, because the idea that kids having mentors and being able to have that open conversation, it does have a profound effect as they're growing up. It's such an important thing because your childhood is just so, all you have is questions. And if you don't have, if you don't have good answers to those questions, then you kind of have to make them up on your own. And that's, that leaves some to the chance. So how did you pick, because there's so many various, ways of having this conversation. How did you pick Jane's particular story?
Yeah, I would say that I picked Jane's particular story to make sure that I was making a meaningful children's picture book. Obviously, this is my debut book. I wanted to make sure that whatever I produce, A, it was a quality product. So that's everything from having vivid illustrations to a beautiful hardcover option, and then also a paperback option for people that might not be able to get the hardcover or would prefer to kind of feel the pages. So taking all that into account, and then also with the storyline itself, looking at what would I wish that I had when I was younger as a little girl, that I would read and be like, wow, like I'm just like Jane. I'm just like her. And she feels like her individuality makes her strong and like who she is. Like that would have been a great like story for me and a character that I could feel like that there was someone else out there that was going through what I was going through at the time. And I feel like that's why it's so important to have the conversations. And I'm hoping that with Jane's story, it will open up the door that after the book is read to the child, that if they are that curious, like, well, what does individuality mean? Or like, why was this so important? And, why was Jane sad? Why didn't she want to go to school? Like, those conversations can happen, and it would be a result of this story and it being powerful and the manuscript being solid and not just, put together to say I wrote a book. Like it was really more about like, I feel so strongly about this being an issue in our culture and with the kids that I wanted to make this to make a positive impact and a lasting impact.
Wonderful. So with all your experience, our listeners here, it's a lot of the parents of the people who, of the listeners of our stories podcast. And so I'm interested in what is your opinion on when it comes to when a parent is looking at this world, of course you have your children, You know, mm-hmm. what would you say is your advice to say whether or not to be able to foster this kind of environment, be a little more intentional about it, or either to other kids? What would be your advice to, you know, to help parents approach their approach, like the children in their, you know, surroundings?
I think one of the biggest pieces of advice I can give to parents as far as like approaching these types of situations in the environment would be asking a lot of questions about the child's day, especially if they're already in school, and just trying to really get to know like their little personality and like what matters to them and how they are receptive to certain feedback. Like some children might not be able to resonate if an adult, you know, has a louder tone. Some people might like to be spoken to softly, or, you know, some people like to be pressed with questions and others do not. So just really getting to know their little person and like asking investigative questions on not just how their day was, but like, what do you need from me? Like, what can I do to, you know, make your school day better, or talk to your teacher, or to help you with your homework? Just really being invested in what's going on and being aware.
I know I appreciate so much when I get the opportunity. We have a little 8-minute drive for my daughter to where get her in the car, take her to school. And then sometimes I get to pick her up. The idea of like that, that having that time where, you know, you put the phone down, you know, having that little moment of time where it's just about them, because we have 3 kids. And I know, especially with parents with a lot of kids, that taking that individual time with each kid and like making sure it's like, they're not always fighting for your attention. You know, that time where it's just like, hey, how was your day? What did you do yesterday? You know, what are you excited about school today? And that idea of like, you know, sometimes in the morning, they're just, no, I don't, you know, it's however that morning went. But the idea of being able to have those opportunities and it within your schedule to be able to, I'm going to intentionally have those conversations. I think that just could be, I know we've had the opportunities in my family to be able to have those conversations. And I love that, you know, like just asking them questions, you know, don't let them settle for that. It was fine. Like just, cause you know, and then I like how you said like the, you know, there are certain things that adults can do, and it's not whether or not it's a good thing or a bad thing that they're doing. It just doesn't resonate with the kid. And so finding the way to resonate with the child to be able to unlock the door, because not, you know, they're all different. They're all their own little person. And so so that idea of making it to where finding what works for that child.
Yeah. And the best way to kind of frame that, like from an adult perspective, is really looking like if you're in a leadership position, right? And you have direct reports. I'm a director in my other position in a healthcare company. And one of the main things that I will do with like my employees is, you know, check in and ask, how are they doing? And like, what type of feedback do they appreciate? It's the same scenario, just looking at it from like a younger perspective and like more gentle and intentional on how we speak to them, so that A, they can comprehend it, and then B, like they feel comfortable and confident in having those conversations moving forward, maybe even unprompted in the future, like the more comfortable they get.
When you said unprompted, that like it was a big light bulb, because I think as a parent, you really want your, I think, you know, there's a lot of different things that you know when you've made it pretty well. And that is if your child just comes to you and says, hey, I have a problem. And you're like, oh, I'm here. Like they knew you were there. They came to you. They didn't feel like, you know, they didn't feel judged. They didn't feel, they just have a problem and I want you to solve it. They don't know if you can, you have no idea if you can solve the problem, but you're, you know, that conversation can start. I just think that's, a lot can get solved, because it's either that or we're paying for therapy as adults. It's one of the two. It's,
right. Which still there's no problem with, of course.
Of course. No, yeah, no. Having, well, even as adults, that, and that's really what therapy, you know, we could go on another tangent on this, but the idea of like, that's what, you know, when it comes to therapy and when it comes to having a friend group and being, especially if you're instilling that as a kid, well, then in adult age, well, then you're able to, you know, I mean, you feel more confident about going to your friends and going to, you know, maybe go to a therapist if needed. Being able to have those conversations, and now we're even better functioning adults. It's not just because we want them to get through the day as a child, wanting them to grow up to be functioning adults and being able to be emotionally healthy. I think there's just such a, a lot, so much can be generational good can happen as that, if that gets moved forward.
Yeah, definitely.
What would you say is your perfect audience for this book?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the perfect audience for this book would be children ages 4 to 8 plus. Really, it can flex anywhere in that range, sometimes up to 9, and looking really to also get the book in front of people like teachers and librarians and different homeschool opportunities too, where you know, these adults can have the option to get the book and then read them to the kids who might not necessarily be able to like pick it up on a Barnes and Noble shelf right away or whatnot. So that's really the demographic for this story.
Perfect. Well, that's such a, in all those different environments, whether or not it's a parent reading at school, a parent reading at the bedtime, or a teacher reading it to their class, or a librarian just having it available. This message can be it can be life-changing for a child if they just start getting that positivity about, hey, you know, be yourself. And, you know, yeah, if you need help, like having those conversations. And I think there's just so much to that, to be able to, you know, that could, in all these environments, I think it'd be great for kids.
Yeah. One of the things that I didn't touch on earlier that I think is cool to know in regard to the story are the animals that Jane meets through the jungle of individuality. So really going into this like dream state almost to escape what was happening on the bus and finding herself in this incredible, vivid jungle with all these animals that have qualities that are like what we would think abnormal, right? Like mohawks and big glittery red bows and different color koalas. And like through putting characters like that in the book, unknowingly, it lets the reader see that, you know, these are animals that don't necessarily look like what you'd see in a zoo or on TV, but look how amazing they are and how they are embracing their qualities. And there are these three main character animals that Jane meets that kind of guide her through the jungle and get her to the end, which there's a little bit of a surprise, like meditative type of situation, where she really learns how to like dial back and like get bravery and courage, just by associating with these animals that have unique qualities just like her. So it's kind of like that metaphor of like, look, these people are just like me and they are cheetahs or apes or like tigers and they're huge and they're strong animals, but even they go through these types of things. So it's really like a twofold type of story. Not only does she get the conversation with her mom, but she also gets these like indirect animal guides or whatever you want to call them that like help her realize that her individuality like makes her strong. And I think that that's important to note that, you know, they're there, but really she's doing it on her own with the guidance of these integral characters too.
That's great. I feel like with kids, their imaginations are so wild and they can think mm-hmm. of, they do not let reality get in the way of a good story. And so right. I feel like that can just be such a unlocking, like letting them like, don't hold that imagination back. Let it fly. I think that's really amazing.
Yeah. I think it's really cool. And that's one of the most exciting things for me, right? Writing the story was like, how can I put her in a different type of world that like shows that she's experiencing a little bit of anxiety from like the bullying. And then she almost transports herself like just by her imagination somewhere else where she feels safe and excited and like open to these new ways of thinking about herself.
That idea that you notice that she is dealing with the anxiety, but then also mm-hmm. that processing it like that, you know, this whole thing, like that open conversation is a part of the process of how do we can't put them in bubble wrap. We don't want to, we want them to experience right. life, but ability to, when bad things do happen or when things, you know, do occur, they're able to process it through and be able to, you know, in a healthy way. And, you know, cause there's going to be hard conversations in life, and that ability right. as a parent to be able to shepherd your child or be able to mentor a child like you have, I feel like that's such a great message to be able to give to the next generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks so much. I'm excited about it.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Well, of course, we, you know, obviously we will have links on all your Kickstarter on the show notes. Do you have an idea of when the book will be released?
Yeah. So we're shooting for July of 2024. So in the summer. Okay. And we will have it released on Amazon. It'll also be available on my website, jennesterauthor.com. And then there'll be other opportunities throughout, like pre-sale and so forth, where you can go on Amazon, see the ebook, and potentially like leave a review and so forth too. So lots of good stuff coming up between now and July.
Wonderful. You have a very busy year ahead of you.
All good stuff, though.
All good things. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. It was great to learn, to hear your wisdom and hear all the things, great mission that you have for kids. And thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.